Run. Okay, David's here. We can start. He's got his breakfast. It's not Communion Sunday. Okay, before we start the lesson, let me give you an update on Maryland service and things and so forth, what's going on down in Spring, Texas. I talked to Gerard yesterday, and he said they're going to be streaming it, but they were supposed to send him a link. So I emailed the church late last night. This morning, I got a response, and that's a good church. Okay, if you want to watch, I don't know if it's going to be video or just audio, but Maryland service is 11 o'clock Central Time, and so it's 10 o'clock here on Tuesday. 10 o'clock here on Tuesday is normally coffee with the pastor. This week it's coffee without the pastor, Gerard and, Dieter, right? Dieter and Marilyn. Somebody's driving down to Texas today. It would be coffee without the pastor. I'm going to try to work with Beth or with Lauren or something, see if we can't get it broadcast, especially if it's video, get it broadcast here on Tuesday morning. It'd be fantastic to have 20 or 30 of us in here, you know, watching the service, being there. So I'm going to try to work that out. If you can't make it or whatever, if you want to watch it, it's an easy website or whatever address. It's springbaptist.org, springbaptist.org, because it's an organization, it's not a commercial thing, springbaptist.org, and then /memorial. All their funerals, memorial services, things like that are all broadcast, are all streamed. So springbaptist, one word, .org/memorial, if you want to watch it, 10 o'clock here on Tuesday. And we're going to have a good group down there in person. Gerard and Georgia will be there. Scott and Pam are going to be there. My wife, Pat, flew out yesterday. She's with... Did I have you... Gerard and... I do that all the time. My sister and my daughter. I've known them both all their lives, and I call them by the opposite names. Anybody do that? It's usually people real close to you, you know? So our pastor and his wife are going to be down there, and Pat and our daughter Amy are going to be down there. They're in the Dallas area today. They're driving down tomorrow. Bob and Carol will be there, and Dieter and Georgia are staying with Bob and Carol. Scott and Pam and my wife and Amy are going to be staying with the Colliers, Mike and Kathy Collier, and they'll be there. So if you add them all up, we're going to have 9 or 10 or so people from the church that are going to be there in person. That's great. But anyway, that's the announcement on that. We're going to try our best to get something broadcast here. If we can't, we'll all be sitting here with our phones all individually listening or watching or something. Spring Baptist, all one word, springbaptist.org, /memorial. So if you want to watch funerals for the next year or two, you know, just every once in a while get on there and see if there's one being broadcast. But anyway, I talked to Gerard. He's doing well, and he should be here next week. He thought he was going to stay down there longer, but Marilyn's son Scott's doing the stuff, and he's not in a big hurry. And so Gerard is planning on leaving there Friday. That's his plan. It could change today. But being up here next week, be up here maybe a month and then go back down to Texas. So even though he's a Colorado boy, I think he's a little afraid to get stuck in snow. So but pray for Gerard. He seems to be doing well, but it's going to be hard for him to go through the service, I'm sure. And he's been there before, and a lot of us have. So, yeah. No, I don't think so, but the Happy Hikers, since Marilyn and my wife are the founders of the Happy Hikers contributed. There's going to be a nice arrangement there from them. And there could be some others. We had an arrangement here last week that were from a bunch of people here for that. Okay, anything else? Prayer request. Do pray for the service down there and those attending. Her grandsons, 10 and 14 years old, they're going to be there, and they love their grandmother, and they were there up until the last day pretty much. And she was a great testimony, even in her last days there. But other prayer requests today? Marilyn.
It's my sister's grandson who killed in a car accident on
Okay.
Years old.
Where was this?
Yuma, Colorado.
Oh, okay, nearby. Okay, pray for that family.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Yeah. Wow, okay. Sharon's son's wrist. How many of you know somebody with COVID? We know more people right now than we've ever known with COVID. And some, it's pretty mild and all, but it's still not a nice thing. Others that are, you know, pretty bad, not in the hospital, but you know, pray for that situation. Yep. Okay. Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We can come into your house and just fellowship with one another and love on one another. And Father, most of all, that we can love on you. We thank you, Father, for your love, for your blessing. Thank you, Father, that we can come before you with our prayers, with our requests, with our thanksgiving. Father, we are grateful. And we do lift up all these requests to you, those that need healing, physical healing, or maybe emotional. Especially pray for spiritual healing in the lives of family members and friends that we know that don't know you. We pray especially for Gerard and the family there on the services this week. Speak to our hearts today as we open your word and learn a little bit more about David. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, well, today's lesson is going to be passing the torch. So David's going to die today. Yes. Four-year-old girl has COVID. Okay. Okay. So we're going to learn about, you know, it could be a short lesson. David died, you know, but it's passing the torch. And who took over after David? Come on, guys. Who's the next king? Solomon, okay, his son. And it wasn't necessarily a nice, true, easy, smooth transition we're going to see today. So it's going to be called Passing the Torch. And kind of a memory verse for today is 2 Timothy 2:2. Who's got that?
To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord.
What is that? Is that 2:2?
2 Timothy. Oh, wait, that's verse.
Sounds like the beginning of it. Sounds like one.
Sorry.
That's okay. Now we got the introduction to Timothy, and we can see what he says in the second chapter.
And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Okay, so what's that verse saying to you today? What's that saying? God's given you a command in this verse through Paul to Timothy, telling you, telling me, we need, you know, we have been blessed with the gospel. We've been blessed with salvation. And it's our job now to share that. And that's what he's telling Timothy. You know, entrust this gospel, entrust things to teach others. And how many of you have had kids, grandkids, and a couple great grandkids out there, I'm sure, right? Well, there's an excellent place for you to practice this in telling others, entrusting the word, God's word, with others. You know, hopefully when you brought up your kids, you brought them up in church, you taught them, you led them to Christ maybe, or taught them God's word, and then to the grandkids. And if you've got kids that are good Christians, hopefully they're doing that to their kids, your grandkids. But I know there's a lot of people that raising grandkids or halfway raising them, and maybe the best thing you can do is, you know, entrust the gospel into your grandkids as well. And just people you come into contact with, new Christians. If you know somebody who's a new Christian, you know, mentor them, guide them, and, you know, practice this verse. And that's what we're going to, David, as he's getting ready to die, he wants to pass on his knowledge, his wisdom, his blessing to his successor, just like we need to pass on God's word to others that follow us. Okay, so in the Bible study, we've got four Roman numerals. They're all start with the C. That's what they're supposed to do. And today, the number one is chaos. 1 Kings 1:1-5.
So they searched for a beautiful girl throughout all the territory of Israel, and found Abishag and Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The girl was very beautiful, and she became the king's nurse and served him. But the king did not cohabit with her. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I live in you. So he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen with 50 men to run before him.
Okay, so David's old and senile. He's no longer the kid that slew Goliath. He's no longer the great warrior that led Israel to victory after victory over the enemies with God's help. That's not David today. David's old. He's a little bit senile. He's cold at night. So they get a nice, beautiful girl to spend the night with him. Nothing happens, but just to keep him warm. Sounds like a good idea, doesn't it, Ted? But anyway, it's interesting, that's in there, and it's got her name there and everything, you know. But he's having issues. He's old. How many of you are old and have issues, you know? Yeah. No, he's only about 70, I think. I know, he's a lot younger than some people. How come you're the only one on this side, Marilyn? We're going to take up a collection and buy her some deodorant for next week, okay? So. I tell you, next week, somebody sit by Marilyn. I just feel sorry for her. Yeah, Gerard, why don't you? Okay. Anyway, so but he's not the same David that we've been looking at for the last, you know, couple months. You know, he's old, he's got issues and so forth and all. So, number one, we see a physical decline. We see a physical decline in David. He's a senile old man who needs nursing care and not who he used to be. Number two, we see a marked decline in David's enthusiasm for the kingdom. His enthusiasm for the kingdom. How many of you today don't have quite the enthusiasm you did 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, doing things around the house? You know, I look forward to cutting down a tree, cutting it up, splitting the wood. My grandson can do that now. You know, with an ache and a pain here and there, we just don't have that enthusiasm to do things like we used to. And so here, this is the situation with David. Number three, David never did much to discipline his children. 1 Kings 1, 6.
And his father had never crossed him at any time by asking, why have you done so? And he was also a very handsome man, and he was born after Absalom.
Okay, so we got his son there, Adonijah. Remember, Amnon was killed by Absalom, and then Absalom died. And we still got Solomon, we still got Adonijah, and probably a couple other sons and daughters running around the kingdom. Okay, but he didn't discipline him. So number four, David's son Adonijah took advantage of the situation, and chaos begins. Chaos begins, and that's Roman number one is chaos, and number four under that, chaos begins. Adonijah is getting thinking about, hey, dad's going to die, and one of the kids is going to be king. Might as well be me. And so he starts planning, and in the verses that Georgia read, you know, he got a bunch of guys to go before him, and he's running around town in a horse and chariot or whatever, and just kind of promoting himself, getting ready. He's on the campaign trail, okay? So Adonijah is starting the chaos. All right, number one was chaos. Roman number two is choice. Choice. In order to put the appropriate national and spiritual leaders in office, we need to find out God's choice. God's choice. And I hope that when you vote, whether it's local or national or whatever, you don't just take for granted, well, he's Republican, I'm going to vote for him. You know, pray, ask God, you know, who you should vote for, who you should support. And in all different kinds of elections and things going on, pray for God's will in your mind to make the right choice. What is God's choice? Number one, God's choice is not one who promotes himself. Not one who promotes himself. Adonijah was out there campaigning, promoting himself. 1 Kings 1, 5, we just read that, but Georgia, can you read that again?
He
exalted himself. And in Luke, in the New Testament, Luke 14:11, what's that say? Somebody got Luke? Luke 14:11. Anybody? Can anybody, somebody find that one? You get a gold star for the first one. Judy? Okay, so here's kind of like the opposite thing. If you want to puff yourself up, you're going to end up down. But if you want to humble yourself, then you can be exalted. So Jesus is teaching here just the opposite of what Adonijah is portraying. Adonijah was very much like Absalom. Adonijah was very much like Absalom. They had the same dad. Probably had different mothers. I can't remember. But anyway, and so they're both very ambitious and want to succeed in their own thing, take over the kingdom, and not what God wanted. Number two, God's choice is not that of political leaders. And what we mean by that, we're going to look at some things when we talk about that, but it's not one of political leaders. First bullet, God's choice is often different from the choice of men. Might be different than the choice of men. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 29. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 29. Somebody's got that out there. Okay, so this is, you know, God's choices could be different from ours. The closer you walk with God, the closer you're in fellowship with God, chances are your choice and God's choice are going to be the same. But that's not always the case. And so, you know, we may think, that's what you want me to do, or that's who you want me to vote for, that's what should happen. And but we need to make sure it's God's choice. And Paul's teaching the Corinthians here about that, helping them to understand that God doesn't think the same we are, the way we do. And I mean, look at some of the choices that God chose throughout the Old Testament. Moses, David, Gideon. I love Gideon, you know. He was the least likely guy to pick. And God picked these people and equipped them. You know, there's a saying, you know, God doesn't choose the equipped. He equips the chosen. And God may be calling you to do something. You say, I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. And God said, it's okay. I'll work through you. So this is the situation about choosing leaders. God's choice could be different from ours. There was Adonijah's way, 1 Kings 1, 7 through 10. Okay, we gave DJ one with a few names in it there. There'll be a test and spelling counts. So here, Adonijah gets some of his followers, but he doesn't get David's closest friends. Like Nathan was David's main prophet. He doesn't select him and Joab. But he's plotting to take over, okay? So that's Adonijah's way. He's going to do it his way and take over. But there's another way. 1 Kings 1, 11 through 14.
Reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. Why then has Adonijah become king? Then while you are still talking there with the king, I will also come in after you and confirm your words.
Okay, so Nathan, who's the main prophet, wasn't consulted in this overthrow. And so he goes to Bathsheba, Solomon's mom, and says, hey, you know what's going on downtown here? What your nephew's doing? Or your stepson, or whatever you want to call him. He's got a little plan. He says, why don't you go to the king and say, hey, see what Adonijah's doing? Didn't you promise me my son Solomon would be king? And he actually did earlier. And then Nathan says, and after you're done, I'm going to come on in and kind of back you up on that. Remember, David's kind of a little bit senile, not the sharpest knife in the drawer anymore. And so that's the plan. This is the other plan in order to put into play God's plan, actually. David recognized that this is God's will. This was God's will. 1 Chronicles 28:5. Is that Dominic? Wake him up.
The Lord has blessed me with many sons, but chose my son Solomon to be next king of Israel.
Okay, so there it's plain. David said, God's blessed me a bunch, and now he's blessing my son Solomon to be the next king. So they got David's attention, and David declares, at least among the small group there, that Solomon's going to be the king. Let's look at a few other verses. 1 Kings 1:30. Okay, so Solomon's going to be the next king, the promise that he had made earlier. 1 Kings 1:39. Okay, so he got some oil on his head. Anybody anoint your head with oil this morning? Remember Brill Cream? How many of you remember Brill Cream back in the 50s? And a little dab would do you? And also it says, not that greasy kid stuff, right? Well, somebody came out. For Christmas, we bought my dad a little tube of greasy kid stuff, it was called. But I should have kept that. I bet it'd be worth a fortune today. You know, it was probably around a year and a half and then went out. But anyway, but they anointed King with oil. David, when he was the shepherd boy, Samuel anointed him with oil. So here, Solomon is officially crowned the king. 1 Kings 1:49 and 50.
When all the guests were with Adonijah, they were afraid, and he rose, each one on his way. Now Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, so he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar.
Yeah. Now poor old... Anyway. Day before, Adonijah, everything was going good. He was doing it on the campaign trail. Looked like he was going to win the election, right? And now Solomon is anointed king. And everybody says, long live King Solomon. So Adonijah, he's shaking in his boots, right? He's kind of worried what's going to happen. So he runs in and grabs a hold of the horns of the altar, trying to protect him. And then at page 2, number 3 up top, God's choice is one who is humble. One who is humble, that's definitely not Adonijah. We're going to see that it is Solomon. One who's humble and willing to be obedient to follow God's will. Those are two good characteristics, humility and obedience. And we need to practice those in our lives. And this was the spirit of Solomon. He was humble and he's obedient to God. Things change later on, but for now, he's fitting the description. So we had chaos, we had choice. Number 3, challenge. Challenge. I get to read something here. Recognizing that his death was imminent, David assembles the leaders of the nation, gathers enough strength to give a last challenge to the people and to Solomon. Solomon was not a rugged warrior as his father David had been. He was brought up in the palace and wore soft clothing. David, therefore, gives a challenge to the people to recognize that the new king is young and tender, and the work before him is great. They must, therefore, support him, follow him as their God-appointed king. And he challenges Solomon to be a strong and faithful leader. And we see a lot in... Yep.
He was only 12 years old, though. That's what blew my mind.
I never did find that.
Yeah.
I've always wondered how old Solomon was. Yeah. You Googled it. What's Google know? They're in Seattle. You know, there's some weird people in Seattle now. Dieter, how old was Solomon, do you know? Oh. You're his source.
Well, they just kept talking about him being young, and so you're thinking.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I know some kings, we had, you know, Josiah, was it? Or who was the guy that was 6 years old? But, you know, and he was first anointed king. So I don't know. I think Dieter seems to be anxious to read something.
I'm waiting for your verse.
All right, number one, David's charge to Solomon, 1 Kings 2, 1 through 3. Who has that?
Then the days of David drew near that he should die. He charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth, be strong therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn.
You know, this is, we can take that today. You know, maybe on your deathbed, if your kids and grandkids are gathered around, you could say something very similar to that in today's language, you know, charging them to be obedient to God, to follow God's leading in their lives, and so forth. But that's David's charge to his son Solomon being the new king. Also, for good advice today, number two, 1 Chronicles 28, 8 and 9. These are great verses too.
Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land, and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, and serve him with a loyal heart, with a willing mind. For the Lord searches for all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever.
All right, once again, especially verse 29, is a great verse for us to recite to our kids and our grandkids, you know. David learned a lesson. I mean, he followed God throughout his life. He stumbled a few times, big boo-boos in his life, right? We've looked at those over the past weeks. But yet, he knew God. He walked with God. And he wants to make that clear to Solomon that that's what he needs to do. He needs to follow God's leading throughout his life. You know, you're going to be king now, and you're going to need help. And turn to God, seek his wisdom. Okay, number four. God magnified Solomon, 1 Chronicles 29:25.
The Lord highly exalted Solomon in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed on him the royal splendor, such as no king over Israel had ever had before.
Wow. God really put his stamp on Solomon, didn't he? And Solomon, I mean, these are the real golden years of Israel under Solomon's reign. David had won all the battles and everything. Remember, he got all the material. He wanted to build the temple to God. The guy said, no, you know, that's your son's going to do that. But David went down to Home Depot and maxed out his credit cards and bought all the materials to build the temple and ready to do it. And Solomon's going to take that job over and do that and during his reign and just really beautify Jerusalem and his kingdom. And it's a great time to be an Israelite back then under Solomon. And number five, David dies at a ripe old age. It doesn't really say there. I did a little bit of looking. I think it's around 70. But I'm going to find out. That's why she normally sits by herself. These others didn't realize what they were sitting next to. Did you read all the chapters today for today's lesson? She's not only does she make the best apple pie around, but she's my prize student. Carol's not here. Carol always read all the stuff. We had quite a few chapters to read this time. And what's in 1 Kings Second Kings, what are we? First Kings, yeah. And First Chronicles is almost the same story. Remember, Chronicles is a lot of duplication of what's in Samuel and Kings, but it's written in a little different perspective. So a lot of times, like this lesson, we've got verses from both books. Whatever preached, the guy who wrote this, felt that this, I like it what it says over here better than here, so we're going to pick that verse from here and this verse from there. But when you read the two, you get a kind of a compliment and fills in some blanks maybe. But it doesn't say how old he was. Is that in Hezekiah? First or second Hezekiah's got his age, I think. Somebody can look that one up. Anyway, okay, so we had chaos, we had choice, challenge. Number four is confirmation. Any of you grew up in a denomination where they did confirmation? You're confirmed? Yeah. My parents grew up in an evangelical reformed church, which doesn't exist anymore. Did it merge with Methodist or something? Dieter, do you remember that? Do you ever hear the evangelical reformed denomination back in the 50s, 40s? Anyway, that's what they were. And they went through confirmation. And basically, you know, you accept Christ, but they need to do some learnings, and they would quiz you on stuff. You know, can you recite John 3:16, or how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, or whatever? And then they were confirmed, kind of a congregation confirming them. You know, in some churches, the Baptist church, everybody always said a Baptist church is the easiest thing to join and the hardest thing to get your name off the roll. And isn't that true? But when somebody comes forward to join the church, there's usually a congregational vote. All in favor, you know. Some of them do it a little more discreetly. If you're happy that they came forward, say amen. That's how preachers used to do it. And actually, you were voting. It was a confirmation of the local congregation confirming their decision, that they believe that they truly accepted Christ and are a believer. Okay, so this is the confirmation for Solomon. Number one, God's offer. 1 Kings 3:5.
In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, "Ask what you wish me to give you."
Isn't that a neat dream? You know, God appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, God says, "Ask me, what do you want?" And so that's God's offer. Solomon's answer, 1 Kings 3:7 through 9.
"Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people?"
Okay, so God tells Solomon, "What do you want? I'll give you anything you want." And actually, God does that for us in a way, you know. He's offered us a lot, an abundant life, and we don't always take advantage of it. So Solomon thinks about it, and he says, "God, you know, what I need the most is wisdom." You know, yeah. That's a neat testimony, and I think that can be really true, especially in situations like that. You know, how many of you have had a spouse die? Okay, quite a few, okay? You know, my wife died when she was 33, I was 32, but you know, it's hard to go through, and you can't go through it by yourself. I was fortunate, we had, our closest family were my parents. They were 480 miles away, but they spent a lot of time with us, and my wife's parents were living down in Florida. We were in Illinois, but they came and spent a lot. Anyway, we had some family there, but then we had church family. And that's when church family can really be important to help you through that. But you do need wisdom. in going through a situation like that. In other situations, we need wisdom. And Solomon, he was smart enough to realize what he needed to ask for, wisdom. And as Dieter read there, you know, God said, because you didn't ask for selfish things. Now, if it had been your brother Adonijah, he would have wished for some real neat stuff, you know. But, you asked for something very sensible. And because of that, I'm going to give you wisdom. But in addition, I'm going to give you peace and prosperity. And, you know, things are going to go well with you. And we need to ask God for wisdom through whatever situation we're going through. We need to ask God for that wisdom. So we had God's offer, Solomon's answer, and then God's response, 1 Kings 3, 10 through 13. Okay, I got a little bit ahead of myself, but there's God's answer to him. You know, Solomon really, and Solomon was honest before God. Said, "I'm a kid. Maybe he was 12 years old, and that would make even more sense." But he says, "I'm not ready to be the king. I don't know what to do. I can't even go in and out right." And so God now responds and says, "You know, because you asked for something that wise, I'll give you wisdom, but I'm also going to add all these other things to you." So, what is our application today in our lives that we can learn from these last days of David and the first couple days of Solomon's reign? It says, may God help us to seek leaders who go to God for wisdom, and who walk before him in humility, wisdom and humility of heart, May we have leaders in our nation and in our churches who are men that God has chosen. That should be our prayer every day. We need to pray for our leaders, for wisdom, for humility. Whether you like them or not, whether you voted for them or not, we need to pray for our leaders and for God's wisdom to be upon them, that they make the right choices. From the local guy on up to the president, we need to pray for them daily. And just like Solomon, I'm sure he had a following of people that prayed for him. And for our pastors, for our religious leaders, you know, around the nation, around the world, pray for them, for they would stay true to God and preach His word in truth, and what God's word says. Okay, any thoughts on today's lesson? Next week, I mentioned, I think last week, you know, when I taught this winter, I said, "Uh-oh, we got one more lesson. David's dead. What are we going to do?" But next week, it's going to be a real quick overview of Psalms. You know, kind of how you can divide Psalms up, different ones and all, and who wrote them. That's the first half. And then we're going to look at three of David's Psalms. Not in depth, but just a little bit of David's Psalms. Because David wrote approximately half the Psalms. So we're going to look at that next week, and then we're done. And then we're off to Dollywood the next day. Right, Bill? You going to come out with us this time? Except Dollywood's not all Southern Gospel this year. They changed it up, and so we're kind of sad. But there will be Southern Gospel music there. All right, Bill, will you dismiss us in prayer? Amen. And if you didn't get that web address or whatever for Maryland's church, you can come see me afterwards, springbaptist.org/memorial, and we'll try to have something up and running here Tuesday morning.